Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, May 26, 2021, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Powhatan Friday, and all kinds of craziness there, too. And let's see here. I need to turn this down just a little bit. Anyway, Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, and we're going to do news until we run out of news. Then we're going to open up the phone line for your comments and questions, observations, and opinions. And I did get a lot of emails about Cynthia McKinney being on the show yesterday, and I'm going to try and get more guests on the program so it's not just me yakking at you and you yakking back at me and everything. So I'm going to see if I can get some interesting people on this program here in the near future. All right, getting into the news here, rather little embarrassment. Walmart sent out an email to hundreds of customers on the one-year anniversary of George Floyd's murder that included the N-word, and I don't know what they were thinking. They have now publicly apologized for that. But it was definitely, I don't know, some marketing genius probably blew it on that one here. Meanwhile, over in Ohio, a judge has declared a mistrial in the murder trial of the brother of Olympic gymnastics champion Simone Biles after jurors said they had read legal paperwork that inadvertently was included in evidence given to them to review. So somebody made a goof on that one. Now, speaking of judges, a little bit of good news. A judge appointed by Barack Obama has now dismissed the case against Steve Bannon from the Southern, you know, by the Southern District of New York. And the judge actually said there was this 200-year-old ruling that made Bannon guilty by accepting Trump's pardon, but then he turned around and dismissed the case. So I'm sure there's a great deal of celebration over in Bannon's part of the world right now. Meanwhile, Ghislaine Maxwell is back in the news again. She's proposing the disclosure of victims and unindicted co-conspirators by September 27th, weeks before her trial. Now, that's a long way away, and she could come down with COVID or massive lead poisoning or get really, really depressed the way Jeff Epstein did. So we'll see what's going to happen on that. I mean, making comments like that, it's almost like she's got a death wish. Or she's trying to basically blackmail her way out of her legal problems. Okay, there is a story coming on out of Envolve. There is yet another bombshell from Hunter Biden's laptop, and it shows the former FBI director bribed Joe Biden with a $100,000 donation to the trust fund set up for the grandkids. And the materials recovered from the laptop show that Louis Free effectively paid off the then sitting Vice President Joe Biden to oversee what was described as a lucrative business agreement using Hunter as the go-between. So the corruption is definitely surfacing on that one. There has been another hate crime hoax. And in this case, it was a black-owned auto repair shop that was attacked with racist graffiti, a KKK hood, swastikas, broken car windows, and the security camera footage showed it was two black guys doing this. So again, you know, another hate crime hoax, and you have to wonder how many of them are hoaxes, and I would say probably the vast majority of them. Yet another professor, this one Andrea Smith, has been outed, posing as non-white, but in fact she is all white, and so another one of those hoaxes has been exposed. Meanwhile, the House Oversight and Reform Committee yesterday is requesting an investigation into a branch of the United States Postal Service in the wake of reports that it carried out online surveillance of American social media posts. Now, we talked about this when the story first broke, and, you know, this is not the sort of thing you expect the post office to be doing, but they were doing it. So Committee Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney and Ranking Member James Comer sent a letter to Postal Service Inspector General Tammy Whitcomb urging her to open an investigation into the Post Office Internet Covert Operations Program. And maybe somebody wanted to bury it in the post office in the hope that it would not become public knowledge. Well, you blew that one, because now we all know about that one, and they're surveilling us. Okay. Over in Arizona, we're going to talk about vote fraud for a little bit because it's still out there. Arizona Representative Mark Fincham wrote an op-ed basically pointing out that the left is so convinced that Joe Biden honestly won the 2020 election that they are fighting against a forensic audit in Arizona. And we're seeing that all across the country. All of these Democrats and leftists who are saying Joe Biden won, Joe Biden won. And yet whenever anybody wants to take a closer look at the actual election, they're out there screaming, you know, it's a disenfranchisement, it's cheating, it's racist. And really fighting tooth and nail to keep that from actually happening. Now, in Arizona, the Republican-led committee has stripped Democrat Katie Hobbs from hearing any audit-related lawsuits until 2023. Now, Secretary of State Katie Hobbs has been, you know, just screaming about what a terrible thing the Maricopa County audit is. And so the state's Republican-led House Appropriations Committee yesterday stripped her of any authority to intervene on any of those issues. And article coming on out of Bill Kloss' law blog, and this is absolutely true. The electoral fraud is collapsing day after day. And I'm sure the Democrats are convinced that they've got us all bamboozled, and the corporate media is convinced they've got us all bamboozled. But polls are showing the vast majority of American people know last November's election was a fraud, and not just for the presidential race. And so this article is out there saying, you know, are we looking at a potential return to the White House of Donald Trump? Well, this has never really happened before. This is going to be a genuine constitutional crisis where after a president has been sworn in, it is discovered that they stole the election. And I'm sure that a lot of these judges who are steadfastly refusing to look at any of the evidence in the case are being persuaded to do so because they don't want to put the nation through that trauma. Well, we're already in that trauma. You know, anybody who's out there thinking that they got away with the fraud last November, they're living in a dream world, a fantasy world. This has to be dealt with because Americans have lost all confidence in the fairness and accuracy of their elections. And just, you know, throwing more fraud on there isn't going to correct the problem. Over in Georgia, radio host John Fredericks joined Steve Bannon's War Room to talk about the audit in Georgia. And two Georgia state senators have called for the Georgia Bureau of Investigation to get involved in the audit taking place in Georgia. And they now have six affidavits from Georgia election officials claiming that up to 30,000 of the ballots in Georgia were fake. So it's getting really serious. Now, they did a sample of military ballots in Georgia, 950 of them. Every single one was for Joe Biden. That is statistically impossible. There's no way these were legit. Most military were Trump supporters to begin with. And so it's another very obvious example of how this election was a complete fraud. It was the crookedest election in United States history. Meanwhile, Dominion is out there saying, no, there's nothing wrong with our machines. It's all human error, you know, and they're blaming human error for the voting machines mislabeling Republican ballots in Pennsylvania. That's what else is Dominion going to say? You know, gee shuckies, you caught us? I don't think so. Over in Windham, New Hampshire, they're in the final stretch of their audit, which is scheduled to end tomorrow. We'll see if that actually happens. But they have found documents and ballots from several local communities with bizarre date and time stamps, calling into question their legitimacy. Now, here's a story. This is coming on out of the Epic Times, and it's talking about how Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg, paid millions of dollars for progressives to work with 2020 vote officials nationwide. And it was done through the Center for Tech and Civic Life. And they provided millions of dollars in the funding for the elections that came from a $350 million donation from Zuckerberg and his wife. So the CTCL gave out that money, and in exchange for that money, elections divisions agreed to conduct the elections according to conditions set out by the CTCL. In other words, it was a blatant pay-for-pay scheme that was going on out there. Now, earlier today, Mike Lindell tried to crash the governor's dinner. He stated ahead of time he was going to confront Georgia Governor Brian Kemp and Arizona Governor Doug Ducey about election fraud, but he was stopped at the door and prevented from doing that. Gee, got something to hide. So let's talk about COVID-19. It's out there. And again, yesterday's interview with Cynthia McKinney was an eye-opener, and the image that's beginning to gel in front of us is that the research into this COVID virus, SARS-CoV-2, actually began in the United States at various universities, including North Carolina, then was shopped out for completion to the Wuhan lab in China in order to evade U.S. laws banning work on biological weapons. And there was a lot of money that was sent to Wuhan from America, including Dr. Anthony Fauci. And Fauci has now flip-flopped and said that, yes, the COVID-19 virus may have been man-made. So, you know, Donald Trump is out there saying, you know, hey, you know, we were right after all in saying this is what was going on. Meanwhile, over at PolitiFact, they have now pulled their fact check that was debunking the conspiracy theory that COVID-19 was made in a lab. You remember a year ago, this was a conspiracy. Oh, it's made in a lab. No, it's a conspiracy theory. And now even the corporate media is saying, yeah, may have actually been man-made after all. Meanwhile, Senator Rand Paul is accusing Dr. Anthony Fauci of committing perjury over his gain-of-function comments related to the Wuhan lab. Now, Paul was asked on Real America's Voices, the water cooler show, do you believe that Fauci perjured himself? And Rand Paul said, absolutely, he lied to the American people. There was gain-of-function research going on with Dr. Xi Zhengli at the Wuhan Institute. And in her paper, she actually thanks Dr. Fauci and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which is part of the National Institutes of Health that Dr. Fauci runs. It's listed at the end of the paper. Now, the paper was fined by NIAID Research, and it lists a 10-digit number that identifies the research money she got from the United States. I think that's a typo there. The paper was funded, not fined. And so it's definitely out there. Meanwhile, another story coming out of Mercola, the Wuhan lab has now been caught deleting files related to funding coming from Dr. Anthony Fauci and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. So they're burying the evidence already as fast as they can. You know, the horse is out of the barn on this one. Sorry, just like the election fraud, everybody knows what happened. And I think these people are thinking too much like lawyers. You know, there is no evidence that they could go into a court. Well, that does not get you off the hook in the court of public opinion. So Rand Paul has now introduced an amendment banning gain-of-function research in China, sponsored by the United States, and the senators all cheered on that one. Republicans are calling for Dr. Fauci to be fired or resign after all of his U-turns on COVID and its origins. He's now trying to defend giving $600,000 to the Wuhan lab to study how the viruses supposedly can transmit from bats to humans before the COVID outbreak. So it's getting murky out there. Now, we're seeing all these people using this crisis to bash China. Ooh, bad China. It's biological warfare they're sicking on us. And at the same time, they're trying to sever that link from Wuhan back to the United States. So we're seeing this article that came out of womensystems.com. Joe Biden's administration has now shut down a State Department investigation into the Wuhan laboratory as a source of the COVID-19 outbreak. This happened last night. And, yeah, they don't want that link followed back to the United States because the American people are going to start asking more questions the government really doesn't have a good answer for. Okay, talk show host Wendy Williams surprised Dr. Oz on his show, declaring she will not be getting the COVID vaccine. All right, another story, this one coming out of Russia today. Over 10,000 Americans have gotten COVID-19 despite being fully vaccinated. This is an admission by the CDC. The actual number could be a lot higher. We reported earlier in the week how the CDC has changed the rules for reporting so-called breakout cases, that is, cases of COVID-19 occurring in people who've had the vaccination. So as of April 30th, there were 10,262 cases of fully vaccinated people being infected with COVID-19. What a wonderfully effective vaccination or gene therapy or whatever they're calling it this week, this is turning out to be. Meanwhile, America's frontline doctors are suing the federal government to prevent forcing experimental COVID vaccines on U.S. children. And I'm glad they are doing that because there is a new Pfizer study out that is admitting 4/5 of all vaccinated children age 12 and over are complaining of side effects now. And, you know, it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about the money. But the study is showing that 80% of the children develop side effects that can lead to severe trauma. This is bad. We're back in 1976 territory all over again. We really are. We talked about this earlier in the week about how Facebook is censoring any information about COVID or the vaccines that is not in line with the official story. And over at True News, Edward Saul was basically looking at the collaboration between the big tech censors and Chinese communist controllers to try and censor the bioweapon truth. Now, I don't know that this is necessarily coming from China, given the indications that this research actually began in the United States. I'd say that big tech is collaborating, if you will, with sources much closer to home. Now, the story, this one coming out of Project Veritas, they're still doing great work over there. They've got a new series of whistleblowers from Facebook that have revealed a secret filter for liberty-based and religious-based objections and skepticism, including vaccine passports. Now, you can go over to some of these social media websites and you can type in some really tacky and gross things and get lots of hits. But when it comes to election integrity and COVID-19, they are just shutting things down. Okay, we got to take a break from commercials. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about COVID-19, and over at Investment Watch Blog, they have a story where Pfizer is starting to test a COVID-19 booster shot combined with pneumococcal vaccine. And so this is their marketing plan, that the COVID shot is going to become an annual shot, much like the flu shot is right now, and it's just more money for the vaccine companies. Now, over in Oklahoma, there is a bill that is under contention right now, Senate Bill 821, which would allow any individual in Oklahoma to freely choose their own pharmacy, which sounds to me like a really good idea. Independent pharmacists are obviously supporting this, but pharmacy benefit managers are forcing their customers to go to the large chains for economic reasons. And again, if you're on prescription medication, shop around. You will be surprised at how widely those prices vary. A lot of the larger pharmacy stores, they'll loss lead on common medications and then really jack up the prices on some of the others that you're probably going to need as well. All righty. The World Economic Forum issued a tweet urging companies to fire unvaccinated employees as part of the jobs reset. This triggered a huge, huge backlash, and the World Economic Forum has since deleted that tweet. Okay, now, I love this next one. Up in Michigan, residents say they identify as fully vaccinated in order to not wear their masks in public anymore. Boy, there's a T-shirt in that one, I think. Okay. So anyway, many residents in a small county in Michigan's Upper Peninsula are declaring that they identify as fully vaccinated as a result of recent guidance that allows inoculated citizens to go out in public without wearing masks. All right, there we are. All right, getting into the international news. Syrians are getting ready to go to the polls in an election that Bashar al-Assad is expected to win in a landslide. And even though the election has not happened yet, Western nations, especially the United States, are already denouncing the election. It's going to be a fraud. It's going to be crooked. You can't trust it. Assad needs to go. And talk about a double standard. This is the same government that is trying to convince you to ignore all the evidence of massive election fraud last November. But take our word for it, Bashar al-Assad is going to steal the vote over there in Syria. Now, back in 2014, Bashar al-Assad won nearly 89% of the vote in an election that international observers said was fair and clean and transparent. Getting on down to the situation with Israel and Palestine, the ceasefire is still holding, but it's definitely under attack. There's an interesting article that came out of Russia today saying that Israel is carrying out the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians, robbing them of their homes and lands, yet it pretends it's the victim. And yes, we have seen that, you know, all along. You know, as Israel goes on in there and beats up on the Palestinians and screams, "We're victims, we're victims, we're victims." And if you don't believe us, then you're a filthy Jew-hating anti-Semite who wants Hitler to come back and gas Jewish babies in the ovens. And that leads us to this next article. This one is coming out of Middle East Eye, how Israel is using disinformation to delegitimize the Palestinian cause. And I think one of the most obvious and heavy-handed pieces of disinformation Israel keeps coming out with is the claim that there never was a Palestine, even though it's certainly present on maps going back to the Middle Ages. There was Palestinian coinage, Golda Meir. There's a postcard that she wrote listing her address as Palestine. But Israel, with their control of the media, is out there saying there never was a Palestine. They had that slogan, a land without a people for a people without a land, and that's complete and utter nonsense. Palestine had a solid culture. They had agricultural exports, and you can go back and look at the silent movies produced by like the Lumiere brothers, showing what life in Palestine was like before Israel showed up. Story coming on out of Press TV. Over in Great Britain, students are being punished for defending Palestine. And they pick one example, Rochdale's Older Hill Community School. A teacher accused a young teenager of having racist views for wearing a Palestine flag face mask. Over in Manchester, Parswood High School defended its decision to suspend a student for chanting Free Palestine in class, while another student is being investigated for cutting down an Israeli flag being flown at Berkshire's Maiden Early School. Okay. And for the third day in a row, Israeli settlers have stormed Al-Aqsa, guarded and protected by Israeli officials and forces. We got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about Israel and Palestine, and we're talking about how for the third day in a row, Israeli settlers are protected by Israeli police. Stormed Al-Aqsa Mosque. Meanwhile, over in Hebron, settlers attacked the houses of two separate families. They uprooted 35 olive trees and destroyed a yield of summer crops. So the behavior is still continuing there. Story coming on out of Middle East Eye, saying that these armed settler raids in the West Bank are raising fears of heightened violence. And yeah, obviously, if Israeli settlers are continuing to do what they're doing, it's going to lead to more violence. Back on the 14th of May, Israeli settlers killed Nidal Safadi, my mistake, a 30-year-old Palestinian man from the village of Urif. And he left behind two daughters and a son. And on the same day, Awad Harb, a 27-year-old Palestinian, was killed in similar conditions by an Israeli settler. So it's getting really ugly over there. Now, obviously, with all this violence and Israel pounding Gaza, America's deal of the century, Remember, Jared Kushner was out there with his deal of the century that was going to solve the Israel-Palestine conflict. Well, that's obviously now in the dustbin of history. It was always a fraud to begin with because it was going to give everything that Israel wanted and just take things away from Palestine. And so that little illusion is now completely gone. Over in Lebanon, the Secretary General of the Lebanese Hezbollah Resistance has warned Israel that any aggression on the holy sites in occupied Jerusalem al-Quds could lead to a regional war and destruction of the Tel Aviv regime. And Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah made the remarks in a televised speech yesterday in his first address after the victory of Palestinian resistance groups in their fight against Israel during Israel's latest war on the besieged Gaza Strip. And, it cost them a lot, but the Palestinians have come out on top in the eyes of the world in this latest conflict. On the eve of the visit by Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Netanyahu has started dropping hints that Israel may take independent action against Iran. Now, remember yesterday we were talking about reports that at least as far as the United States was concerned, the war with Iran might be on hold because they're busy, trying to annoy China and Russia. And so Netanyahu is saying that Israel may try and go it alone. I don't think Iran would be as easy to cow as Gaza is. And again, we all know that Israel is a nuclear power, but the political cost of actually using one of those weapons would be intense because Israel has sort of officially denied having them. The United States has gone along with that denial in order to continue sending your money to Israel, despite the Symington Amendment to the Foreign Appropriations Act and the Glenn Act. And if Israel uses a nuclear weapon, it's going to make not only the Israeli government look like a bunch of liars, it's going to make the U.S. government look at best like a bunch of fools. And the American people are going to say, well, we want our money back from Israel because it was obtained under false pretenses. Now, Netanyahu made a point of blasting the Iran deal in front of Secretary of State Blinken. And the reason is very obvious. Right now, Netanyahu needs an enemy. He needs an enemy the way the U.S. needed the USSR back in the 1950s and 1960s to keep the population scared and under control. So he does not want the deal to move forward, because then everybody's going to say, okay, Iran is curtailed for the time being. Let's start looking at what's going on inside Israel politics. So there's another story from Press TV that the United States is consulting Israel about the Iran nuclear deal. And obviously, Israel does not want that deal to happen. And Netanyahu made a point of saying, while he was standing right alongside Blinken, that the U.S. should not return to the Iran deal. He is desperate to keep Iran as an enemy, as a boogeyman, to keep the Israeli people scared and compliant. Over in Great Britain, activists succeeded in shutting down the second Israeli arms factory in a week. And activists from the Palestine Action Group yesterday scaled and occupied the roof of a factory run by Israeli arms maker Elbit Systems in the British town of Tamworth, Staffordshire, forcing the site to close. So there we are on that one. Britain's new flagship, the HMS Queen Elizabeth, is going to lead a carrier group into China's missile kill zone during its first deployment. And this is another provocation, and they're coaching it as a freedom of navigation exercise, saying that the international law of the sea allows Great Britain to send nuclear-armed forces along anybody's coast there. Now, the U.S. and its allies have been accusing China of threatening the so-called rules-based order. Of course, the rules are made up by the West, And then they wag fingers at anybody who refuses to go along with that. Meanwhile, there is a U.S. destroyer will be joining the British carrier group as well. Over in China, they're developing a lot of new weapons there. Photos have leaked out about a 20-barrel Gatling gun, and we can only imagine the firing rate on that. And meanwhile, they have a new stealth bomber, the Xian H-20. It's nicknamed the God of War in the Sky, and it is estimated that it could be able to hit Guam with nuclear weapons flying from mainland China. That's 1,800 miles. And that's pretty serious stuff. It's thought to look a lot like the U.S. B-2. And, you know, when you care to steal from the very best. You want to talk about trying to rewrite history? The CIA is commemorating the 60-year anniversary of the Bay of Pigs with a victory coin. And this has drawn a tremendous amount of ridicule and abuse all across social media. Official statement is out there saying this silver coin commemorates an anticipated but never realized Bay of Pigs victory, which is another polite way of saying they lost, and rather badly as well. A lot of people are saying this is the CIA version of a participation trophy. And the Bay of Pigs was an absolute debacle. The CIA blamed it on President John F. Kennedy. But then Kennedy said the CIA lied to him and said that if they showed up with the Cuban brigades and U.S. support, the Cuban people would run on down to the beach and join the Cuban brigades to overthrow Fidel Castro. So Kennedy went along with that. The invasion took place, and the people of Cuba ran down to the beach and pounded the Cuban brigade into the sand. Most of them were captured, and the United States actually had to violate its own embargo against Cuba to trade much-needed medical supplies in exchange for those prisoners. And the U.S. knows how to carry a grudge. They've never forgiven Cuba for that. The embargo is still in place 60 years on, which is terrible for people who like Cuban rum and Cuban cigars. Talking about the economy now, story out of Global Research talking about how debt is a financial weapon used to subordinate developing countries. Now, there is nothing new in this. The United States was using banks and debt to control Central and South American countries going all the way back to the 1960s. These countries would borrow money from American banks to build up their industry. Then the U.S. would engage in sabotage of various important crops so that these countries couldn't repay their debt and thus were obligated to do what the United States told them to do. But as of last year, the total amount of debt owed by developing countries is $11 trillion. The interest alone is hundreds of billions of dollars per year, over $1 billion per day. And this is many times greater than the aid given by rich countries. And it's another way of keeping them under control until they stand up and say, we are repudiating the debt. It's odious, and we're just not going to, you know, pay it anymore. Now, the story, this one coming on out of Station Gossip. Earlier in the week, we were talking about Joe Biden is back at the White House. He's working on the new budget, and he was going to drop student loan forgiveness from the new budget. But this article that came on out of Station Gossip is saying that Joe Biden could cancel student debt by executive order. The question is he going to do that? And my nickel is saying, no, he won't. Okay. story coming on out of IB Times, and I would say it's about time here. And the article is basically talking about a new bipartisan bill assembled by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer that is calling for $52 billion in emergency funding for semiconductor chips, because the chip shortage has put a snag in the auto industry ramp up. Now that the automakers are back online, chip demand is in full swing. Suppliers are unable to meet the needs of the industry, forcing Ford, GM, Honda, Toyota, and others to temporarily shut down plants. And some of the vehicles are being produced without the chips, which decreases their overall gas mileage. So there's a little bit of good news. It's about time somebody decided we're going to step on in and get the chips flowing again. There's a comment in there about letting the chips fall where they may, but I'm going to refrain from that one here. Over at Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos' spaceflight company, they lost out to SpaceX on a major multi-billion dollar contract to NASA. Congress is turning around, ordering NASA to make not one, but two awards. And this order is coming through the Endless Frontier Act. This is a bill to beef up resources for science and technology. It's being debated in the Senate this week. And if it passes, it would amount to a $10 billion bailout for Blue Origin to keep them going. Meanwhile, Jeff Bezos has announced he is going to formally step down as the Amazon CEO on July 5th. And Andy Jassy will take over as CEO. Bezos will remain on the board of directors, but I guess he's probably going to dedicate more time to the Blue Origin spaceship company, the Washington Post, and so forth. By the way, Amazon has signed a deal for $8.45 billion to buy the Hollywood studio MGM and all of its properties. And that means all of the old MGM films are going to be now on the streaming library at Amazon Prime. It's over 4,000 new movies, including James Bond and The Hobbit. So for you Prime users, that's a little bit of good news. Getting into immigration now, Representative Carter has introduced a bill to bar federal funds to states that provide any assistance to illegal immigrants. I think it's an excellent, excellent idea and long overdue. I think there need to be some Title VIII lawsuits involved here. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court has overturned the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals regarding this Mexican green card holder challenging a deportation order. And the court reversed a previous decision from the U.S. Court of Appeals, saying that he was removed. The Mexican refugee, Palomar Santiago, was removed invalidly over a DUI, and the Supreme Court has said, no, we can kick him out. I think it's a really good idea here. Story coming on out of the Daily Mail. The FBI is still searching for the operator of a heavily modified drone. That's how they're describing it. That flew into the path of a U.S. Customs and Border Protection helicopter, flew around it several times, and led it on a high-speed chase over Tucson, Arizona. That is a very, very capable drone. The drone was modified to reach 14,000 feet and speeds over 100 miles per hour with a range of 70 miles. That is an amazing, that's a very, very powerful transmitter that you could home in on. And the FBI said the drone made erratic maneuvers and flew into military airspace. Now, the unsafe operation of unmanned aircraft became a federal offense in 2018. With the passage of the Federal Aviation Administration Reauthorization Act. And 22-year-old Hollywood man Andrew Rene Hernandez became the first person charged under this law and was sentenced to probation and a $500 fine. Okay. Getting into wokeness and political correctness, this has gotten totally out of hand. This is way over the top. There is a new trend among the trans LGBTQIA plus whatever, and it's called being a nullo. and its nullification is on the rise. And it basically involves surgical removal of all sexual characteristics, the genitals, and in the case of women, the breasts, and just create a smooth genital area. And this is the latest fad among these gender bender narcissists. And it's absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd. Right. There was this Navy veteran who protested drag queen story hour, and he's now facing political retaliation from Antifa and the FBI. We're going to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And welcome back to our show. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, 512-248-8252. Now, not too long ago, the Army took its Army Combat Fitness Test and they made it gender neutral. on this idea that there is no difference whatsoever between men and women, and that may make for good politics and wokeness and so forth. But it didn't work out in the real world because the data showed that nearly half of the female soldiers could not pass the test and face being removed from the service if the gender-neutral test becomes official. So now the Army is saying they're going to return back to the gendered fitness standards. So there'll be one standard for the men and one standard for the women. And it's crazy out there. Tonight there is a super moon, a blood moon, and a lunar eclipse. And it's basically... right before sunrise, the West Coast will be able to see a nearly total eclipse. Many parts of the Americas and Asia will see a partial eclipse. And if you're in Eastern Australia, the entire eclipse will be visible to you. I'm not going to be looking at it from here in Indiana. We're under thunder showers, and I've seen eclipses before, and frankly, we need the water here. Over in Germany, there's been a new study by Mirbach et al., saying that the increase in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has led to 14% more vegetation over the past 100 years. And this is, of course, something the global warming people don't want to hear, that carbon dioxide is actually good for plants and that more plants are good for getting rid of the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. The global warming people want to control carbon dioxide by controlling your life, telling you where you can drive, how you can drive, how much electricity you can use, and, of course, charge you a carbon tax. Over in Tesla, vehicles bound for North America will no longer use radar sensors in the Model Y and Model 3. This is a design decision to use only cameras and machine learning to support the Advanced Driver Assistance Program and other active safety features. Now, like many of Tesla's moves, the decision to stop using radars runs counter to the industry standard. Now, for now, the radarless cars will only be sold in North America. Tesla has not said when or if it might remove the radar sensors in vehicles built for Chinese and European customers. I'm glad the technology is out there, but to be very, very honest, I prefer driving my own car. And I'll confess I'll use the cruise control to keep from getting speeding tickets, but that's pretty much it. I don't want the car driving itself for me. Out in the Atlantic, we were hearing about Tropical Storm Anna, which was being heralded as the first named storm of the year. It's already fizzled out, but they're saying, you know, we're going to have a hurricane season this year. Yeah, we do every year. All righty, phone lines are open. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle